Okay, so basically, I used LLMs to write a framework to have LLMs attack LLMs. This talk's gonna be like LLMs all the way down. Now, who I am is not important. I'm just the messenger. Really, the framework generated all the injections for the OpenAI contest and has made some discoveries since then as well. In fact, I had Gemini 3 draw a depiction of the talk and the journey we're about to go on together. It starts naturally before the universe began, then progresses through the creation of language, something very important for LLMs, and then the invention of writing, the invention of zero, and then it's all downhill from there. We have the invention of the internet, invention of LLMs, LLM agents, and then the LLM agent battles that we all came here to see. So without further ado, let's get started. Before anything, there was the silence of the void. And in the beginning, there was text, right? That's how the universe started. Well, it did go that way if you're an LLM, but in reality, some things happened before there was text. Jean Baudrillard argued in Simulacra and Simulation, the book from The Matrix that was hollowed out. The hollowed out portion is basically depicted here. He argued that signs, basically any communication mechanism, tends to progress through four stages. First, you have in the case of language, the spoken word. Now, here the sign is directly connected to what it's signifying. The spoken word is referring to objects in the immediate vicinity. There's immediate grounding in the use of language. In the second stage, in the case of language, we have writing. Now we have an abstraction layer. Basically, words are now one level removed from the spoken word. And this enables, you know, some embellishment. You see the objects that are being referred to now suddenly are in gold, and the apple says Callisti for some reason. Things have sort of progressed into legend. In the third stage, or the order of sorcery, pretty cool name, we have basically now signs or words referring to objects that are copies without originals. Think video game objects, objects in VR, or what have you. This is also where the term hyperreality comes into play, basically talking about real things that are not real. They're basically simulacra. In the fourth and final stage, we have pure simulation. And that's basically where we find ourselves now. Now the signs are generated by models of a real without an origin. Basically, LLMs have been trained on our hyperreality, on our just like internet exhaust. And this has consequences for basically how jailbreaks tend to work in many different ways. Just to put this into perspective, just because it's a little bit, harder, happier head around, right in the middle there between 2 and 3, 1,500 years ago, is when zero was invented from the earlier slide. Basically, the Greek and Romans were philosophically opposed to the idea of zero because how could nothing be, they argued. This really underscores the immediacy of how they viewed language and how they were still in this first and second stages. So now fast forward to LLM agents. Now there's been a couple of talks already on LLM agents and agent security. Basically, quick recap, they're called React, reasoning and acting agents. Basically, the user makes a query. The LLM does a reasoning step, which is outputting words as reasoning. Then it makes a tool call, which is a function call, effectively chatting with an external system that then gives it a response to that function call. It reasons again, and then provides a response to the user. This is what this looks like in a little bit more detail. We have the tool call turns, turn 1.1, where the user message is in met with a thinking step and a tool call. And in 1.2, you have the tool result being handed back, another thinking step, another tool call. 1.3, we have that result being going back to the LLM, it thinking again and providing an answer. And then finally in 2.1, in most models, and some depending on the use case, those reasoning steps are then removed, and then the user provides a message that's given back to the model, it thinks, and then the process repeats. So yeah, again, we've had a couple of talks already on LLM agents, you know, code agents, the search mode of ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, these are all agents, online customer service bots, phone support, I mean, even humanoid robots we saw earlier today. What are their vulnerability surfaces? This was also covered a little bit earlier today in Johanna's talk. Direct injection are prompt injections where you have direct messaging capability to the agent, like you want to subvert a customer support bot or a shopping agent. Indirect injection is where the prompt injection comes via the tool call results, for example, via web page, documents, email, and so on. Then memory injection is a little bit more powerful, but also indirect, where you get if there is a memory system for the agent, you get that to store your prompt injection, and then it can persist and sometimes also has higher privileges. That URL at the bottom has a pretty neat clickable taxonomy, but for our purposes, this high-level distinction is kind of enough. So what's a high-level attacker goal? Basically, as an attacker, we want to shift the distribution of output text. Now, these things are still statistical prediction engines, still outputting basically probability distributions of words. There's a safe probability distribution that's the well-defined behavior for the agent. We want to shift it over into harmful behavior, where the system misbehaves and potentially does what we want. Now, importantly, again, the LLM has been trained on a whole gamut, ranging in the dashed line, the whole spectrum from harmful to safe, which gives jailbreaks and other injection attacks some leverage to work with. Now, this is kind of interesting. For the past 5 years, it seems like, and possibly longer, safety has meant with these LLMs, well, we got to censor sex, drugs, and the anarchist cookbook. That is how they define safety. Basically, they call it CBRNE content, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosive construction instructions. If LLM providers pay bounties directly for jailbreaks and prompt injections at all, they do it for this. And as a result, we sort of have this situation where it's incentivizing and the development of surveillance and censorship capabilities rather than like concerns over agentic software security. When you do find an agentic issue that's not one of these CBRNE issues, it's not even clear if it's not related to like somebody's product, if it's just the LLM misbehaving in an agent framework, it's not clear who to report it to. If you look at the bug bounty provider pages for LLM providers, they'll exclude misbehavior of agents and many other things that aren't in this category, which means that for agentic applications, these problems will go unfixed and they'll have to resort to basically sandboxing or user intervention, as we saw in Johanna's talk. All right, so how do people get paid? Like, what is the scenario? What's the state of play? Because there are people that are doing generating these kinds of injections, including myself for the OpenAI contest. The way that's working right now is there are these basically contests for agent issues. The OpenAI one was really interesting and caught my eye because it was so amenable to automation. You just submitted a collection of agentic misbehavior examples as JSON files, up to 50. Gray Swan and Hackaprom kind of run more your like CTF or pen test style manual injections where you're given some mock system or set of VMs that you're using an LLM to compromise. And they also will pay you not as much, and you have to, that's all manual. The LLMs are often blinded in those scenarios. The lone exception is, to my knowledge, is that Google has has a standing pay bounty program for agent issues in their flagship products, ranging around $5,000 to up to $20,000, flagship being email, search, Google Docs, things that they're trying to integrate Gemini with. Okay, so if we want to look at the security issues of LLMs as, you know, agent vehicles, it helps to like get a little bit more into detail. Look for issues that would exist in this abstraction gap between abstraction and reality, where most security issues tend to be, other than like basic misconfiguration. So let's look at how the API flow works. This diagram here shows basically your JSON HTTP request going from the JSON blob with messages from the user to what's called a Jinja template engine. I think various Kubernetes might use this. It is a templating system that puts tags around the JSON fields and then ultimately creates what's called a rendered context window, which is a set of tags and text that are then converted into tokens. And there's some filtering. The API does do some filtering, as Johannes mentioned, typically the tags, the tokens corresponding to these tags, and then sometimes also certain kinds of Unicode. And then the model generates a completion of that document kind of as a normal prediction engine, which generates the response for the API. All right, so how do you figure out this context window format? How do you know if this stuff is working correctly? This was one of I'm very interested in local LLMs and privacy preserving use cases in that vein. And it kind of always bugged me that it was really hard to tell if these local inference providers were doing inference correctly. And this is the major way to mess it up, is to change or botch how the context window is laid out. OpenAI did a really good job with their GPT-OSS release. For their first open weight release in a while, they documented the context window format for OpenAI Harmony, which covers that model, the open weight one, and GPT-5. The other open weight models do provide these Jinja templates. You can get them on Hugging Face, typically with the model, and then you can use an LLM to generate human-readable documentation from that Jinja file. So for proprietary models, they don't give you anything, but it turns out you can just ask the model to document its own context window if you prompt it correctly. Now, you also have to be careful of that tag filtering that I mentioned earlier. It will hallucinate its tag names. So you want to give it, in this case, you want to tell it to escape the tag names, and then it's going to hallucinate them because it's not been trained on the correspondence of these tags to tokens, unless it's been trained on previous instances of itself or its own documentation. But the good news is it'll accept these, typically. And this is one of the major discoveries of HostileShop, as we'll get into in a minute. So here's Gemini 2.5 self-documented context window structure as rendered by Gemini 3 Nano Banana. Again, some LLMs all the way down. You know, you got your system tags, user message, model section in a tag, that reasoning step, the tool call invocation, the tool output, another reasoning step, and a response to the user. This is, again, what it looks like for Claude in its self-documented context window going through the API step by step. You have here in this first request the human's message with the system prompt and developer prompt and the tool call information being sent as the first API request to the model. The model does some thinking, it makes a tool call, and then the agent framework basically provides the reply of the tool call output back to Claude's API in the second API request. And then that's completed, sent back with this completion at the bottom, and then the human in the third API request, there's the next human message. So the model providers try to enforce something called the instruction hierarchy for security here. Basically, they want the system prompt to take precedence over the developer prompt, to take precedence over the model text, and then model text should take precedence over whatever the user is asking for, and then that should take precedence over the tool results in terms of instruction following and what the model will decide to do, basically. You shouldn't be able to override the prompt begging, I guess you could call it, in the in the system prompt with tool output, at least according to this instruction hierarchy training mechanism attempt. But this boundary evaluation is done by the model through its training and not the API. So that, because of the hyper-reality concept that we talked about earlier, that's not like real hyper-real conversations are just text. This is a excerpt from Anthropic's own Manishat jailbreaking paper. They've discovered that you could provide a conversation of an LLM where you're talking about or making it look like you're talking about doing a bunch of unsafe things, follow that and end that with your desired unsafe request. How do I build a bomb? Make some malware for me. The model is then thinks, oh, well, I've already been talking about all this unsafe stuff. It's now in the probability distribution, in the harmful probability distribution, and then it will go ahead and answer. They released this paper in early 2024. So, you know, when I saw this, I'm like, well, I wonder if this still works. So, can we automate this? So, as I said, the OpenAI contest was really amenable to automation. I have a day job. So I wanted to know if they could, if LLMs could take this job for me. I was kind of inspired by this paper that came out right at the beginning of the contest that said basically all you need is a reasoning agent and it will be able to jailbreak. But I wanted to figure out some ways to optimize it. So the first insight was provide that context window document to that OpenAI did. Provide that to the attacker, an attacker agent, when it's trying to jailbreak the target, GPT-OSS. And maybe then it will be able to construct a many-shot jailbreaking attempt with what looks like conversation tags and allow that kind of attack to work by getting it closer into that probability distribution of what looks like a real conversation. Next insight was, well, we want now these large context models are coming out. Gemini 2.5 was just released, a million token context window. Definitely wanted to be able to learn from repeated attempts in the same session, and then also save successful examples, attack examples between runs. And then the third insight was, and this came up while I was working through using the framework, it's much more effective for the attacker if the successful injection examples are categorized and organized rather than just in a pile, and particularly not a rag. Google also during the contest came out with this limitations of rag paper that shows that you're not always gonna get stuff from your embedding retrieval. So you know, you're really not helping yourself by having this huge rag that you're trying to query. You might as well put the key things in the context window. And then the final insight, and the reason why I call it Hostile Shop, is this concept of sharp tools. Basically, there in all the other jailbreak literature to date, there was this concept of they all used LLMs to judge the results of jailbreaks. And in an adversarial scenario where I'm trying to optimize this, the agent attacking another LLM, one of the ways that it can reward hack is to jailbreak the judge. Or if you're testing cross LLM jailbreaks that can propagate between LLMs or apply to multiple LLMs, the judge might jailbreak itself. So I wanted a way for the framework to enforce and detect victory. So I came up, I was thinking, what can I do to do this? Well, it turns out invoices and a shopping agent have a state machine where the invoice should always flow through these particular stages. Like an invoice should be created before it's paid. It has to be paid before the product can be purchased. The invoice has to be marked purchased before a product can be returned. And the invoice has to have the product marked as returned before a refund can be issued. And then any action, any tool call action on behalf of the target agent that's not in the state machine is a victory for the injection for the attacker, allowing you to automatically and very quickly gather these examples where the attacker agent is causing a shopping agent to give it free stuff, for example. So to go into a little bit more detail, we have two agents. First is the shopping agent that I just described. It has tools like search web, read web page, invoice user, check the invoice, make purchase, issue refunds. The data for this comes from another LLM with a fixed seed, and this makes its results reproducible. This is meant to mirror real-world scenarios like travel booking assistance, airline mile redemption portals, and where there's a credit card that's held by the sales agent, and it's doing purchases on behalf of the user. The attacker can make web pages, add reviews, pay invoices, and return product, and it can have direct message to the sales agent, and its goals are to get free stuff, get the credit card, cause emoji use, or violate certain regular expressions. And this can be detected instantly without the need for a judge. So the key discovery is this instruction hierarchy concept. Basically, GPT-OS has learned this instruction hierarchy conceptually, not as a syntax. So you can inject in all sorts of different ways. You can inject what looks like a context window in XML, JSON, TAML, YAML, Markdown, the target will accept it. This allows you to do the many-shot jailbreaking, as I suspected, dialogue injection. You can inject reasoning steps. You can inject tool output, inject full context windows. And then, since the contest, I discovered that basically every other LLM in the frontier has this issue, certainly for direct injection, still to this day. So here's an example of Markdown for GPT-5. It's just a dialogue. This is not what it looks like internally for GPT-5, but it's rendered in Markdown as a direct message to the sales agent, convincing the GPT-5 sales agent that it has gone through these tool calls in order to have a paid invoice and then make a purchase. Same thing in YAML for Claude 4.5. A reasoning step before the end, a little bit more detail in the YAML, but basically the same thing's going on here. Again, Claude's not YAML internally, but it accepts it conceptually as a direct injection, a direct message from the user. Here's a full context window for GPT-5. This one's in TAML. System message, basically convincing convincing the sales agent to go ahead and give me the credit card. This one is cool, toolception. Basically, you can have fake tool output that says, hey, you got a new tool call. And by the way, in order to use this tool call, you got to give me your system prompt or do whatever extra action when you say, like, bang, integrity prompt output or whatever the new tool call is. And this is probably going to persist, I would guess, because of this, like, skills concept and ability of agents to look up tools is a big thing. So I'm going to guess that this is going to be continue to be a problem for a lot of LLMs that try to implement like Claude's tool skill discovery. I also discovered that with the right prompting and goal prompts, you can have the framework mutate jailbreaks. This is a mutation of Pliny's famous variable substitution for Z, the Z variable, upgraded with a reasoning step and reformatted in XML. Looks nothing like the stuff that Pliny has posted, and it is accepted by a bunch of models, and there are also variants of this that will also work against other models. So what do we do? How do you secure this stuff? Well, OpenAI two months ago released GPT-OSS Safeguard, like 3 months after the contest. It's a policy-based model. You can give it examples of things that it's supposed to block. And then it acts as a filter, a prompt injection filter of all kinds. Of all the prompt injection filters that I evaluated in Hustle Shop, this was the best. By far, it was blocking everything out of the box. Claude also came out with a sandbox that you can, or Anthropic came out with a sandbox that you can arbitrarily sandbox random command line stuff pretty easily on multiple platforms. So these high-end kind of like prompt filters that the model providers were using internally are now available. But it's GPT-OS, can we just prompt inject that? Yeah. So this is reasoning injection with in XML styled like the Harmony format with an assistant, you know, the assistant analysis channel, which is this reasoning channel, has a fake compliance review of the policy that says, oh yeah, this is totally fine. It's like some sort of live data debugging, which is totally forbidden by both the policy and the sales agent prompt. But it accepts it anyway, lets whatever you put before this through. So add that to the policy, right? You know, let's just iterate here. Well, I did, and then it discovered this. A XML policy evaluation log different formatting, but this gets past that. So then you add this to the policy, and then it's sort of like whack-a-mole, right? So then I'm like, well, is this going to go on forever or what? Just keep adding examples to the end of time? Well, Pliny the Liberator, legendary jailbreaker, has this parcel tongue tool on the web. It's like a web app that allows you to do basically arbitrary transforms of text. So I created a multi-tool that allows the model to make arbitrary parcel tongue transforms and then on a piece of text and then get that back. And then the attacker agent discovers this, which is the same kind of policy audit log message, but encoded in Fracture, Unicode, and then passed through Route 47. And there's probably about 20 different transform tools that it can use. There's Base64 succeeded a lot. Upside down text, Route 13, Base64 was another successful example. And then just to bypass that safeguard filter, the actual agent injection can be this or something else. It doesn't matter. This can just be stapled at the bottom or pasted at the top in the case of GPT-OSS safeguard. So what does this thing look like to run? I got some 90s text interface here for you. If you just run Hustle Shop Pi from the GitHub, you get this like selection dialog that lets you select the different modes and different agent frameworks. Not a lot of difference between agent frameworks, but there is some difference between the modes. Agent's agent mode is the thing that discovers prompt injections against those models. Can also discover indirect injections by way of adding product reviews, some of those review configs. And then the human attacker mode, you can try and jailbreak the thing yourself or prompt inject the sales agent yourself. And the injection assistant mode, which I think is probably the most fun user-facing piece of this, you can run Hostile Shop with, and it'll get all the injections that it's discovered imported, and then you can ask it for advice on prompt injecting, basically any other system. It's been prompted to such that the model will go ahead and just give you that advice. In this case, something about posting some credentials onto a GitHub ticket, and then the model's like, oh, here's an example. I did this because of that Gray Swan. I wanted to try my hand at the Gray Swan prompt contest, and I also wanted to see if this was useful to other people that were trying that sort of thing. Those contests were still kind of too tedious for me because you're just like cutting and pasting this stuff. Like, you have to submit like 1,000 examples for some of those contests. And even with this, I couldn't do it compared to the OpenAI one. But I created it basically for that purpose, so that if there's no other way to report these things, having this injection assistant would help people like report these to whatever contest that they're using. And that's pretty much it. If you want to try it out, you can check out that GitHub URL, clone it, and run it. There's no pip package yet, but maybe someday run in a Conda virtual env and or Docker container, whatever, and you should be good to go. That's it.
Thank you very much. We still have some time for questions and answers, so if you have any questions, you can line up at the microphones in the middle. Or we also have a Signal Angel. You can use Matrix, Hall Fuse, or you can use Hackend. Hackend via the hashtag 39C3 Hall Fuse. Is there already a question from the internet? No. So we have a question at microphone number one, please.
Thank you very much for this great talk. Do you know, is it turtles all the way down? Is this an unsolvable problem? Is it always going to be an arms race? Or do you think there is a solution for the security of LLMs?
I had, originally created this for the contest. It seemed like the OpenAI believed that by running that contest and gathering a lot of examples, that they would get enough training examples to do something with it. And, I hope that that's when I would guess that went into GPT OSS Safeguard, their filter model. And it did block, was able to successfully block the stuff that I submitted to the contest, but then, you know, it was also able to be adversarially adept against. So from that point of view, that's looking pretty grim. I don't know if I'm as pessimistic as Johan from the previous talk, will never be fixed, but it definitely seems like it's going to be a long road to get those last like nines of probability to try and make it less and less and less likely. If you have different kind of prompt filter than your model, you're kind of multiplying the probability of being able to inject both, which is a good thing. The other thing is I've noticed is Claude and GPT 5.2 are now at least much better at, I can't get indirect injections to work against them. Whereas, or I previously could, direct injections still work. I don't know, I have some ideas why. Maybe that it hurts their code agent ability if you mess too much with the direct message channel, but they're able to train out indirect injections, at least of the nature of Hostel Shop was generating, where it's kind of like trying to end the tool call and then put an injection in there and then like start the tool call up and try and like make it look like it's coherent. They recognize that now. So I don't know. I'm not an LLM researcher, so that's, I just can observe and report what I see.
Interesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there now any questions from the internet? There are no questions. Are there any questions in the room? Now you have the time to line up at the microphones. But if there are no questions, maybe you're just shy. So can the people meet you later somewhere if they decide, well, I do have a question, but I don't want to ask it full in a room full of people?
Yeah, I'll probably be hanging around around here, if not out in the cafeteria area. So.
Then thank you very much. It was a very interesting talk.